So good morning, everyone, and welcome to this course. My name is Eddie, and of course we're engaged in this FPMT introductory program called Discovering Buddhism. And the particular course we're involved in is called How to Meditate, and this is our third class. So let's begin as we normally do by doing a short meditation and setting our motivation. So please make yourself comfortable in the chair, and then invite our spiritual lineage into your presence. This means that you are to imagine strongly or think that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas from the 10 directions are present in the space above you. Then imagine that every other sentient being is sitting around you. And recollect that what we have in common with one another is that we equally wish to avoid suffering, equally wish to be happy, and equally every one of us lacks genuine happiness. Furthermore, we are all equal in that for all of us, the causes of our suffering can be eliminated, and the potential for complete and genuine happiness abides equally within all of us. To reveal that genuine happiness, we need to dispel the causes of suffering. And to do this, we first of all have to abandon attachment to the fantasies of just this life. Then we need to abandon the fantasies to the pleasures of all of cyclic existence, to our own singular welfare, and finally to grasping at an independent and objective reality. By doing so, we can help everyone turn their mind to the truth, and to practice the truth as a path, to remove obstacles while on the path, so that confusion may dawn as wisdom. And since only the three jewels and the Lama are indivisible, protect that effect within us. Let's decide to help everyone engage in the path as explained by our teacher and the lineage. We can begin to do that by refreshing our own refuge. And we can do this by simply reciting the refuge prayer along with me. So thinking again that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are present in the room, we're surrounded by all sentient beings, we can say together, I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. Now to ground and increase this aspiration of ours, we can recite the four immeasurables together. So may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. And may all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now, to accomplish enlightenment for the benefit of others, we need to abandon different forms of thinking and behavior and adopt others. And this is all summed up in the prayer called the Seven Limbs. So we'll recite that together. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginning this time and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. Now we're going to make an offering of a mandala, which is like a world system, to the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas of the 10 directions who are in front of us. So this ground, anointed with perfume and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam guru ratna mandala kam nariyata yami. So we imagine that the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have accepted the offering of the mandala and they smile at us in delight. Then the merit field begins to dissolve, melting into the central figure of Shakyamuni Buddha. An emanation of him leaves his heart and comes to abide above the crown of your head. The emanation descends through space, entering through the crown of your head, and down, and resting at the level of your heart. And the light of this emanation begins to expand, completely filling your body. And your mind is filled with light. The light begins to expand even further, going out through the pores of your skin, going out into the 10 directions of space. And wherever there are living beings within that space, they are touched by that light and transformed and become fully enlightened. Those differences called inner and outer, self and other, have vanished. From the 10 directions of space, the light begins to withdraw. Once again, enters your body at the heart level. I think there's a small sort of bead of light at the level of your heart. And recognize that this is your potential to become fully awakened for the benefit of others. And all we need to do is to remove the conceptual elaborations that we have to release its energy and therefore awaken and be able to benefit others. So while you're breathing normally and naturally, become aware of your surroundings and your body. And gently allow your eyes to open and become present in the room in front of your monitor or screen. So I thank everyone for engaging in the preliminaries for practice, and now we'll begin the class. Now, of course, the most important thing before we begin any sort type of Dharma instruction is the motivation for engaging in it. And this is a very simple one that is, you might be familiar with this by the Dalai Lama. And it always begins by us sort of recognizing where we are at the moment. So the first thing is to acknowledge the great fortune you have of being alive. And not only being alive, but having a human life. And knowing what you can do with that, not waste the time we have. Now, the purpose of any type of meditation is to become familiar with beneficial states of mind and to decrease afflictive states of mind. It's to bring the untamed mind under control and to make it serviceable for the benefit of this life, future lives, and the achievement of enlightenment. In brief, to meditate means to accustom the mind to virtue. Now, there are many types of meditation, but for our purposes, the two most important are analytical and stabilizing. And last week, we looked at the posture of meditation. Now, if we can't sit in the full Vajra posture, then the half Vajra posture or half lotus is sufficient. And if that's even too difficult, then just sit on a chair. The most important thing is to be comfortable. And at the end of the session, it's important to dedicate the positive energy that we've exerted in the session so that it won't be lost. And therefore, deliver us to the goal that we're seeking for our own benefit and for the benefit of others, called enlightenment. So in brief, that's a sort of a summary of what we've covered over the last couple of weeks. But today we're going to look at some meditations. First, we're going to sort of look at some of the breathing meditations. We'll look at one in particular called nine-round breathing. And there's another meditation we'll look at called the meditation on the conventional nature of mind. So not only will I speak about a little bit about these and open it up for some questions or discussions on them, I will also spend a few minutes meditating on the breath and the mind. Now, these are some of the books that I've used to found meditations in concerning this topic. So this first up the top called Pointing Out the Great Way is a spiritual manual that describes the Tibetan Buddhist meditation called the Maha Mudra. So this really brief involves sort of meditating on the mind itself. And this is a very full and systematic presentation in this book. The next book called Just Breathe is a fantastic, very useful book. Really talk about mastering breathwork, as it says there on the cover. It's a great way to sort of reduce stress and anxiety and improve your productivity. And there are so many different methods taught here that you find them very, very useful to bring about quick states of relaxation and ease, which of course are necessary to have successful meditation sessions. The book next we call The Heart of Meditation by the Dalai Lama. Once again, this is a meditation on the conventional and deepest nature of mind. And this time it's coming from the Nyingma tradition, in particular Dzogchen. Now the books down the bottom here called Minding Closely, The Four Applications of Mindfulness and the Attention Revolution they're fantastic books. They're very easy to understand, they're well written. And Minding Closely in particular has a lot of very good meditations on these four applications: application to the body, application to feelings, application to the mind, and application to every other type of phenomena. Whereas How to Meditate has got a lot of meditations in there that are very useful too. and terrific as a an entry book into the methods of Tibetan meditation. And lastly, we have The Art of Meditation by Mathieu Ricard. And once again, another lovely book, very easy to read, and really written from the heart. So I think that all of these books are very good to use and study. And like I said, I've used all of them in the presentation of this course. So I think now we can come to the first presentation that we've got. And this is this what we call watching the breath. And we can watch the breath from a number of different points. So we can look at the whole body. So basically this means just noticing what the body does in response to our breathing. This brings about a sense of our deep relaxation. So by focusing on the complete body, we're going to overcome tension, which leads to agitation and exhaustion. We can move our attention to the abdomen. This brings about a sense of stability. And because the object is a little bit smaller, it also enables us to sort of tighten and strengthen the ability of the mind to focus. And the point of doing that is to overcome distraction. Finally, we can bring our attention up to the nostrils and focus on the feelings that are experienced in that area. And the point of doing this is to sort of bring a sense of vividness and clarity to the mind. And this vividness and clarity overcomes the dullness that is often present in the mind.
Eddie, can I just ask, is there a significance of going in that particular order?
Yeah, there is a significance in this order because one builds on the other. So by doing the whole body, we get a sense of relaxation. We narrow the focus down in the abdomen, it brings about a sense of stability. And when we come to the nostrils, it brings about the sense of vividness or clarity. And I've often used the metaphor of using a tree. So we could have the sort of sense of relaxation. It could just be sort of like the ground itself. The stability could be the whole trunk of the tree. And then the vividness is sort of all the leaves and the smaller branches as a metaphor. The major thing here is to bring about a sense of our relaxation. If we're not relaxed when we do meditation, over time the tension will make it very, very difficult. We become exhausted, in other words, and the mind becomes quite agitated. So we just start with the biggest object, the body. This will bring about that relaxation. The abdomen, because the area of focus is smaller, stability. The nostrils, because it's quite small, clarity and vividness. So we're going to look go through each of these. We'll look at the whole body first of all. So here what we're doing is we're breathing normally and naturally, and we have our attention placed upon the body and just noticing the responses that the body makes to our normal way of breathing. So we will inhale breath, and what you'll probably notice is your abdomen will move and your upper chest will move. And you'll also become sort of quite, I think you'll also notice little energy currents in the body, other movements in the body. You'll notice how your bottom on the chair, your back on the floor, and all those sorts of things. So these will both be noticed, how the body feels. And like I said, the idea is to bring a sense of relaxation. So the advantages of being mindful of full body breathing is to get yourself out of the discursive mind and into the body. If you can do that, you get the mind will be in the present and not the past or the future. Now, although there are many different types of objects we can focus on, the breath is always available to us, and it's relatively easy to focus on. Now, there are different, the simplest way and probably one of the most effective ways is just to become aware of the breathing and breathe normally and naturally. And then when you notice that your attention has left the body, then you can just gently bring it back. Now, sometimes it's easy, you can do it like a preliminary to doing this. There's still the object is still the body and the breath, but you can begin like, you know, taking three deep breaths and then placing your attention anywhere on the body, or, you know, using the whole body as your object of focus, and notice what takes place as you breathe in and out. So let's try that. So please make yourself comfortable. You can either be in your chair or seated in another posture, or even lying on the floor. So we'll do it. We'll do the meditation by sort of like doing the three deep breaths. So like breathing in deeply through your nostrils, and then sort of forcefully exhaling. Go. And once again. So forcefully exhaling it through the mouth. Last time. And now breathing normally and naturally. Two more breaths. Okay, now we'll come out of this brief relaxing meditation. And just bring your attention back to the class itself. Is there anything anybody would like to ask about this very simple relaxing or relaxation type of meditation?
No one's put anything in the chat, Eddie, but I think that like the most obvious thing for me is that I often associate relaxing with just kind of blobbing out, you know, you have a busy day and then you come home and you kind of relax and just bleem out. Mm-hmm. So this is a different type of relaxing, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. So yeah, because of this type of relaxation, we've actually got an object that we're focusing on. which is the breath and the body's response to that breath. And by doing so, we actually, it really helps release tension in the body and agitation in the mind. And if we can allow the breath to settle into its sort of natural rhythm without trying to control it, then we find that our inner chatter, our inner speech begins to settle down. Of course, what you'll find again is it'll spring back up again, of course, and then we just come back to the body. Now, for me, sitting in this chair, what I notice immediately is that when I breathe down to my belly will expand and it'll push up against the belt that I'm wearing. So, you know, you can sort of feel, And I also notice how my chest expands and the shoulders can go up a little bit. So it's like, it's quite like what you're saying. If it's not, it's not a bleeding out or a blobbing out, you become sort of this relaxed awareness, or awareness that is relaxed within the body. It knows what's going on. It knows how you're feeling in the body, how the body is feeling. The lovely thing about this type of meditation is that, you know, I find it, I do it in the garden, I can do it on the bus, you can do it at a table sitting down, and all it takes is like, you know, two or three breaths and it's enough. And when you come back, sorry?
Anthea just has a question. So in the observing the body, should she bring her attention to the various aches and pains and try to relax them, like trying to make yourself comfortable?
No, you don't have to make yourself do anything, just become aware of it. So you'll notice, yeah, that you have aches, pains and things like this. But at this stage, it's just to keep, just to breathe through it. You could, Anthea, of course, like, you know, breathing in, and on the outset, you know, like you could say, like, relax, or even think that the tension being held in the different parts of your body is now leaving the body as you exhale, and in that way, the body is relaxing. Oftentimes, all you need to do is sort of gently bring your awareness to those tight places, and if you just rest your awareness there and then breathe into it, your body will naturally relax. So it's not like you have to make it do it. It'll naturally do it. So this type of meditation is a foundation for many, many different, for many, many other types of meditations. And one of those other types of meditation is the one that you've mentioned, Anthea. So you can, you know, like use the mind and the breath to release different forms of tension that you feel in the body. But here it's, we're really just trying to be present to what's actually going on, and by being present you do feel the different knots of tension and tightness in the body. Other areas it'll be hot or cold, and other areas, like for me, you know, I do this, I can't feel my back. So we find out how we lack awareness about this great big thing that we're always in called the body. So although this meditation is, like I said, simply explained, and in a way quite, you know, you can do it quite simply because the object is so large, it's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to be present to your own body as you're breathing normally and naturally. And like I said, this is really the foundation for every other type of meditation that you'll do. So if you're not relaxed and present, this will have an effect on any other type of meditation you do. So we'll move on now to the next object of meditation, which is the abdomen.
Yep. All good.
So here we have a young woman in a very good Vajra posture. I think you can see one of her feet is up on her thigh, hands are resting out on her knees, and her back is nice and straight. Her head is in a very good position, and she'll be just breathing into the abdomen or her belly. So here the focus is a bit smaller now. It's just on the belly. So the idea, of course, is to start off on the whole body. So once you become proficient in the whole body, keep starting there, but then within a few breaths, move up to the abdomen. So you see the abdomen is a smaller object. And here the idea is really to bring up tightening attention and bringing to it a sense of stability. And by focusing just on this smaller area, we're helping the mind become less distracted. So the object here, like I said, is the tactile sensations, meaning the sensations of feeling associated with the in and out flow of the breath. I'm using bare attention. So it's funny, so just I said that I exhaled and you could feel the belly go in, and it's just like there's this absence there. Breathing in through the nostrils, it comes down and then it, you know, goes down to a little ball shape. So you might find that you actually don't breathe like this, which means actually you're not oxygenating your body very well. And you might have to learn actually to bring the air down into your abdomen. Like I did about 15 years ago, I found the air doesn't even go down there. Everything's up in my upper chest. So we're allowing the body to flow, the breath to flow unnaturally. We're not controlling or manipulating the breath. So you'll also find this is not so easy to do. I think probably the time when we do not manipulate the breath, probably the best of that is when we're sleeping. So if we can allow the body to sort of just breathe itself while we're awake in the same way it does as we're breathing, that would be ideal. So on the out breath, we sort of emphasize the relaxation. And there we release tension and tightness, release any thoughts you might have, just sort of relax. And then on the in breath, sort of a little bit more focus, and then letting it go. So let's try that. So here, remember this idea of being focused is to help us overcome distraction. So you'll notice when we do it, sometimes your mind will wander off the abdomen, will either go back to the full body or to something outside yourself or to different thoughts you have. So whenever that happens, you just relax a little more and then bring your attention back to the abdomen. So once again, either lying on the floor or sitting on a chair. If you like, place one of your hands on the belly so you can actually feel it move, going out and in on the inhalation and exhalation. Otherwise, place your hands wherever you feel comfortable and notice the tactile sensations felt at the belly, the abdomen. So let's begin again. So first we'll just maybe just take a deep breath in and exhale. Now breathing normally and naturally, becoming aware of the whole body. anywhere in the body. And now moving the attention to the abdomen or lower belly. And notice the feeling sensations, the tactile sensations associated with the in and out flow of the breath. And just three more breaths, emphasizing relaxation on the out breath, and the object is the abdomen. And just relaxing even more, moving your attention off the abdomen back into the body. And releasing your awareness of the body and just coming back and being present. Now, is there anything that anybody would like to say about their experience of focusing their ability on the abdomen and for developing sort of stability of mind?
So while we're just letting people type into the chat, it's kind of amazing that today is so quiet and still outside as we're doing these meditations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's why they often say in the field, it's a very good time to begin even earlier, you know, just before the light comes up, before the birds start their chatter. So there, of course, when you get this great stillness there out in the environment, but also inside. And the stillness is really coming about because you're focused on this smaller object. And so being focused sort of eliminates distraction, and everything does quieten down. We become very aware of the quietness.
So there's no comments.
Okay.
Oh, there is one. Alison Lulams. she finds it very easy to relax, but when she's tired, she nods off. So what can she do?
Okay. You can allow yourself to nod off, Alison. It just sort of means you need a rest. You actually need to be rested. So either have a rest and then come and do the meditation, or perhaps get some cold water and dab it on your face and on your neck. Another thing you could do is like do a few of those really deep inhale and exhale and forceful exhalations. That seems to really clear the inner system up. And then don't meditate for too long. And then once you find yourself nodding, try and bring yourself back a few times. And if you just keep nodding, then go, okay, that's enough. I'm stopping here. You could also stand up, walk around, rub your limbs, stretch your jaw. If you're up to it, do a couple of jumping jacks, shake your hands, just sort of invigorate the body a bit. And then retake your seat and away you go again. But oftentimes when you sort of nod off a lot, if it's consistent, especially like after work or after a meal, just take a break and do a little bit later.
So you wouldn't like have a coffee before sitting down to meditate to stay awake. You'd actually just try.
No, it's not so good to do. I mean, you will stay awake, but the mind gets a bit agitated. It's like, it's sort of jittery. So you want to be awake, but relaxed and focused. Mm-hmm. So, you're sort of relaxed. You're relaxed. You have this object called the abdomen. You notice the movements that it makes while you inhale and exhale. And, your mind is quite clear on that movement. So what happens when you start nodding off, of course, is that you lose your clarity. That was a sort of mind is tired or has become dull. So if that takes place too often, like I said, stop the meditation, otherwise you become familiar with dullness, and that's not a good thing. So let's move on now to our next object. So this object is the nostrils. So once again, it's not just the nostrils, it's the sensations or feelings that are experienced at the level of the nostrils as you inhale and exhale. And here, what this does is overcomes dullness. And it produces vividness or a great clarity of mind. Now the what we call the nostrils, so there's a number of different areas that we could focus on. And sometimes when you begin, you might be aware of one and not the others. So these areas are like above the upper lip but below the nostrils. That's one. And then sort of just entry to the nostrils themselves, and then just inside the nostrils. So inside is easier, then the entry to it, and then the most difficult is the area above the lip. Once again, I'd suggest you start with the whole body, then come to the abdomen, then come to the nostrils themselves. Even if you become quite proficient, just take like a couple of breaths, body awareness, abdomen, then move your way up. I found that for years I had no feeling at all. I couldn't. I wasn't aware of the feelings that you could experience there. And yet we're breathing every day through the nostrils. And that just for me showed me how out of touch I was with my own body, and I still am in many ways. Also, my breathing is always high up in the chest. Wasn't even aware of breathing. So much going on inside my mind, so much thinking going on. So the other thing that's happened to me is that you can have a couple of days where you actually are aware of the feelings being felt at the nostrils, and then the next day you're not. So sometimes it can come and go, but what over time, if you keep trying there, of course, your awareness becomes much more stable. And so the clarity of mind becomes more obvious. So what will happen here by staying constantly aware of the breath here, what will happen is that the thoughts sort of vanish. There's just a great clarity there. But what can happen as a beginner is that you might find yourself becoming aware of many, many more thoughts. And so it's very hard to hold it here. So if you just find yourself wandering off and thinking of it, come back down and do the abdomen. Now get this sort of stability again. Stabilize yourself, relax more, then come back up again. And another reason for having a plethora of thoughts is that we've lost our ability to relax. We're too tight there. So we've got to sort of have it, relaxed and stable on this very small object to overcome the dullness and produce the clarity. So let's do anybody have any questions before we try it?
Nothing yet.
Okay. So let's give that a go. So we're going to start again. We go whole body, anywhere in the body. Just notice your feet, your knees, your hips, anything. We'll do a few breaths there. So three or four. Then in your own time, move up to your abdomen. Once you sort of get that stable, you go, okay, I can feel it going in and out, feeling it going in and out. I've done three or four breaths there. Then come up to the nostrils. And like I said, even if you don't feel anything, just try to keep your attention there. So let's begin again, folks. Make yourself comfortable. Okay, in your own time, as long as you wish, body first, then abdomen, then nostrils. Whenever you find yourself distracted, try to relax a little more and then continue on the object. Releasing distractions, relaxing, returning to the object. releasing distraction, relaxing, and returning to the object. Now drop your awareness down into the abdomen. Now into the whole body or anywhere within the body. And now returning your awareness to the room itself and to the screen. Would anybody like to offer anything about their experience? And when you're ready.
There was a question from Kylie about does that point above the lip below the nostrils have a particular name, or is it there a particular
name? No, it might have I was thinking of looking for that, Kylie. It probably does. It must have an anatomical name for the body. It has to. Since we name so many other parts of the body, you probably go and search on Google for it.
Doesn't have a particular meditation name for it?
No. It's called meditating at the nostrils. Using the nostrils as the object of focus.
Then Nicola asks that she sometimes feels panicky when focusing on the breath at the nostrils or claustrophobic.
Yeah, that's right.
So should she persist with the focus there or go back to the abdomen or the body?
Yeah, go back to actually the whole body, Nicola, to relax more. Or even when you're up here, you do get this, if you notice it's sort of a panicky sensation, you might even say to yourself, or just think the next time you exhale that you're exhaling the panic. That's just like relax. It's some sense of I need to relax more. Yeah, so for you, Nicola, you need to try and become more relaxed by being in your body. Then, like I said, come up to the abdomen, try to get more, a bit more stability, and then come up against the nostrils. If you find it's too agitating, then come back down again to the body. Or you might find that, like what I did here, I wasn't able to experience the feelings above the lip and below the nostrils. I could feel it like coming like inside the nostril and just at the very entrance. I thought, well, if my object there was the space between the nostrils and the upper lip, you just call everything else I was doing distracted. So I wasn't even able to get it on that object. So I thought, I can actually feel it sometimes deeper inside the nostril and sometimes at the entrance there. So like I said, sometimes if you can't feel anything, it might be an idea just to take one of those first and you go, okay, I can get it there. Now if it was just a little bit more subtle and then even more subtle.
So Jane's asking that she feels the same way, but about the abdomen. So can she leave the abdomen part out?
Meaning, would you say the same way?
I'm not sure, panicky maybe, or claustrophobic.
Okay, so then you need to go back again, go back to the body itself. You need to have, it'll get even worse if you come up to the nostrils because the object is much smaller. So your agitation will increase if you go up to the nostrils, if you find you're being agitated at the belly.
So the kind of thing then is to counter that agitation.
You need to make the object larger and more easily accessible to you.
Yeah, so Jane says it's where the abdomen's where she feels her anxiety. And me too. So the nostrils seem easier, but that won't actually relax the anxiety, will it?
No, no, and it doesn't give you a great deal of stability there either.
Right, so this has got a whole different approach, isn't it? This is much more long-term kind of building the foundation.
Right. I've actually read, take a year to learn to relax properly into the body. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, you really, without this foundation, you won't get very far if you try to rush the process. So I would suggest relax as much as possible. Do what meditations you can do. Like, if you like to do pujas, then do those, because you're still focusing on objects. That's still meditation, and it's still very useful for you. What else can I say? Also, keep studying, keep reading. But then, when it actually comes to, like, you know, to meditating, becoming familiar with other things, you know, because we use the body and mind, and they're closely related. Keep spending time learning to relax. But at the other time, at the same time, meditate on other objects. Like I'm saying, like go along to pujas. We need the merit. Keep reading books. Keep talking to others about Dharma, and you know, keep going online and listening to other teachings. But then, like, while you're doing so, you know, like, at the same time, try to also become aware that there's a body and a mind here engaged in this. Don't just, but try to anchor your mind within the body. You know, that, you know, they're two.
Also, Eddie, I had a question about when you focus just below the nostrils there, it's quite difficult to distinguish between, like, a generic image that you have of below the nostrils,
that's actually right. A
visualization, and actually physically feeling it.
That's right. Yeah, so that's dead right. So you might find that because we have a habit or we're good at visualizing, we start imagining something. But it's not, we're just trying to feel. And once you can, you'll know it, because you actually feel the sensation there. And you'll also notice the differences between warm breath and cool breath. And so when you breathe in, you'll notice it's cool. And when you breathe out, it's a little warmer. And that, you actually feel that. You know, you can actually also feel the little hairs that are there. You know, the breath goes through them. It's like going through the grass, and the grass waving. It all moves. So if you can become aware of that, you can imagine the sort of clarity of mind it has, actual thing, not imagined stuff, actual.
Yeah, that's a totally different feeling then.
Yes, it is. And so it could take, like I said, when I was aware, suddenly become aware, my God, I can't even feel that. And then I go, I find that I can't even feel my back. I'm not even aware of what it feels like on top of the skin on top of my hand. Wow, man, I'm so out of whack with my body. And I'd suggest many of us are. Many of us in the modern world are all in the head. So we need to sort of come out of that for the moment and try and integrate these two things, body and mind.
So that kind of leads to the other thing about how many people are disconnected from their body because of a whole lot of trauma that's been experienced. Sure. And so you get back in your body and all the trauma comes back up again.
Yep, that's right.
So is that also partly why, you know, we've got to start with the relaxing?
Yeah, that's right. We've got to start with the relaxing. Yeah, a lot of the sort of like trauma work is to sort of have enough, to get enough confidence to sort of relax into the body and let the, somatic trauma responses release themselves once the body's able to relax. But even that can be quite frightening for us. You know, it's like it's the body, the energies in the body sort of uncoiling themselves, being released finally. Right? But we've sort of held them there through either repressing them or paying them no attention, because it's, you know, it's sort of a bit freaky for us. So we just live up in our head where it's sort of comfortable.
Then Anthony has a question, you know, being an actor and part of the vocal warm-up, focusing on the breath, and direct it to the various resonators of, you know, for the speech. Yeah. And then the mental focus engages the subtle use of intercostal muscles and so on.
Yeah, this is right. These exercises would be fantastic, Anthea. So, yeah, that gives you a way in. And you can also see how it might relate to meditation.
So is there any kind of similar, you know, like that focusing on the just above the, you know, on that top lip there, mm-hmm. is there any kind of, you know, muscular reason for focusing there?
It has a great deal of, it has many, many health benefits. So it has an effect on the heart rate, how the lungs move, even the cardiorespiratory system itself. So it has a great deal of, it has many effects on the body itself.
And so then is that spot is then more subtle than, say, just on the larger places of the body?
Yeah. Yep. So like I said, the other places, I said, the body, anywhere in the body, and just become aware of, you know, what your feet might feel like, or your hands, or anywhere as you breathe normally and naturally, that will get you to relax into the body. Just relax, and that means you're just present, which we need to be, present. When you move it to the abdomen, it's what you get there is not only are you present, but the mind is becoming more stable. It's able to just rest on a much smaller object. So you need to have the relaxation and then the stability. And there is a level of clarity there, but it's not as refined as once you move it up to the nostrils, because the object is so much smaller. And not only smaller, but more subtle. But because the area is so very small there.
Okay. And then Anne asks, is it okay to practice the body awareness while lying down, at least initially, thinking
yes, of course. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And do you think by the lying down rather than just sitting, it helps you build awareness?
Yes, because you're much more, you know, when you're lying down, the body is, you've got a whole body sort of up against the floor. Right. So you could ask yourself to feel what, the under the calves, on the buttocks, on the upper and lower back. You know, and especially if you have your arms beside you in the corpse posture and your hands up, you become much more aware of silent, what's going on in the body. There's, you know, it's a huge area. And just relaxing into it, allow it to happen. The danger here is falling asleep. So we don't want to do that. We want to be clearly recognize what's going on in the body as we breathe normally and naturally. But that's, you know, the object of focus here. And so what you'll find is that you can be drawn away or distracted by thinking or listening to sounds in the room or smells or all that sort of stuff. What the major distraction, of course, is our thinking. And this just shows you how we're not relaxed, you know, we're not just present to the body and the breath.
Yeah, so Anne's saying that she thinks this might be why she's never really progressed with the breathing focus, because she's quite restricted just sitting.
No, Anne, so, you know, I think we began this series where we used the posture. So lying down, sitting, standing and walking, these are all four postures that the Buddha taught that we can meditate in.
Yeah, because then just sitting, you can often feel just really wound up and tight.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So perhaps then the floor is better, or a yoga mat or a mattress. And, you know, first use that, then, you know, try even just standing and then sitting. And you see how relaxed you are as you walk. So, like, it can take quite a long time to relax, to be relaxed enough to actually, you know, move on to these other smaller objects. So, like I said, so while we're learning to relax, keep studying, keep questioning, keep reading. Because, you know, we just find, you know, the mind is, we're much more familiar, we all work with the mind, but we sort of left the body behind.
And Eddie, didn't you say in the last class that when we do the lying down, to not have it in the same posture as when we lie down to sleep?
Oh, try not to lie down on the bed. If you normally lie, you go to bed to sleep, then don't lie down there. Don't lie on the floor or put a mattress on the floor or a meditation mat. Don't do this. You know, it'll happen because that area is so familiar to you. Your body and mind will associate it with sleeping. So that's what will probably happen.
Yep, we can all relate to that.
Okay, so let's go along. Time's running, and so I'll introduce you now to a meditation called the 9-round breathing meditation. So there are different forms of 9-round breathing meditation. There's one that is done in the, like if you go along to yoga, and the yoga has a... teachers who've been educated in the Hindu traditions, in their 9-round breathing meditation, the way they do it is exactly the same as you would do it as a Buddhist, but the purposes are different and the effects are quite different. So when you go along to yoga classes and they're like, this man is doing blocking off the nostril and breathing, and they usually do breathe in, switch over, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and then they switch it over. So the purpose there is actually to calm the mind and reduce anxiety, bring a feeling of relaxation to the entire body. It also relaxes the mind in preparation for meditation. And what's the most important thing here in that type of meditation is the breath itself. Now, when we do it as Buddhists, the purpose is not to relax the body and reduce anxiety and those sort of things. It is to purify your motivation. And the focus is not so much on the breathing, it's on the imagination that you bring to the breath. So, there are different, first of all, so if you went online, you'd find a lot of information about this 9-round breathing meditation. If it's called like pranayama, that has to do with the yoga traditions of the Hindus and sort of yoga in general. Right? That'll be about breathing meditation. If you go to 9-round breathing meditation and then see something from the Buddhist, you'll notice it's quite different. Now, there's a very good one up there where the Dalai Lama teaches 9-round breathing meditation. So perhaps later on you might like to plug that in and have a look. In that, there he's got actually, it's a YouTube video, but then there's also a PDF document describing how to do it quite slowly. So as beginners, you do these sort of things, you know, put your finger up against the nostril, breathing in, moving over, breathing out. As you become much more proficient, you don't use your fingers at all, because like I said, it's mainly about visualization practice. So I'll briefly go through this, and then I'll have to leave it and move to this last meditation, but I suggest you guys go up online and have a look. plug in His Holiness Dalai Lama nine round breathing meditation. So in that, he starts by, first of all, you do something with your hands. So you put your hand like that. So this is a mudra. You move your thumb across to the base of the ring finger. And you do it with both hands. So they're like that. Then you fist it like this. And now you put your hands like that and you just rest them on your knees. Palms facing downward. And as you inhale, you slowly move your hands up along the sides of your torso until you arrive at your chest. Then you push the fists out in front of you as you exhale. Then you tuck your right fist under your left armpit. Now you're ready to do the nine round breathing technique. So then you take your left pointing finger.
Eddie, just stop the screen share while you're showing us, Dom.
Okay.
So you take the left pointing finger.
You take the left, you've got this right one like that. So, you know, you had your little fingers like that. You clenched them, you put them on yours. You breathed in. Move your chest up. Put this one under here. Oh, sorry. And you up the side like this. You push your fist out in front of you. Hold it like that. You move your right fist under your left armpit. You get your pointy finger. And then you move it up against your right nostril. And you inhale slowly. And as you inhale, you think that you're breathing in white light. So there's a white light on the breath. And you keep your awareness on the white light that's on your breath. You go. And this white light is all the blessings and power of the Buddha. Then you move it across. Exhale. And the breath goes out. Of course, and on top of it is like this black smoke. And that black smoke is the desire and attachment energy going out and disappearing. So you do that three times. You just switch over again, you put your hands down, blah, 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 put it up and do the other side. Now, because we're running out of time, that's as much as I'd like to give you. And this is even more advanced than the beginners, right? As you become more proficient, you don't need to do all that. You can just sort of sit and imagine breathing in all the blessings and the power of the Buddha in the form of white light that goes in through one nostril. It goes out to all the desires, energy, black light. Once you've done that three times, then you breathe in on the other side, breathing in through the right nostril, all the white light, meaning the blessings, compassionate wisdom of the Buddha, compassionate wisdom and power of the Buddha. Coming in, breathing it into your abdomen, or even so you can do any of it, you can do the abdomen, the heart, the throat, and on the exhalation, all the black light comes out again, and this time all the hatred, anger, and aversion goes out. Finally, both nostrils together, breathing in the white light, exhalation, the breath goes out, tinged with black, and all the ignorance and confusion goes out. And the point for doing this is to, the meditation doesn't rely so much on the breath as on the imagination. And this is because mainly what we're trying to do is to cleanse our motivation for doing the practice. So I'll just stop there. So is that clear, everybody? The technicalities of it all, of course, you'll find there's lots of stuff online and other books and things like that. Start by doing it as easy as possible.
Anne says she's used this Dalai Lama YouTube video and found it really wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, good on you, Anne. Excellent. Great to hear. Yeah, so give it a go. Now, so these are three meditations on the breath that we've done. Now, I want to finish off by doing a meditation on the mind. So I'll just bring us back to the slides. So here, when we talk about the nature of the mind, this meditation is about the conventional nature of the mind. The mind has two natures, a conventional and an ultimate nature. The ultimate nature of the mind is the emptiness of the mind, and this, we're not going to do that right now. We're going to focus more on the clear and knowing nature of the mind. So to know that, we need to know what the meaning of clear and knowing is. So as an analogy, right? So when you look into a mirror, we see in it the reflected objects of anything that is in front of it. So when you, like I said, if you put your face, you look inside a mirror, you'll see your face there. That's what you see, but you don't actually see the nature of the mirror. So what do we mean by nature of mirror? We mean it's a capacity to reflect, which is defined as its clarity. In other traditions, it's also called its purity or its limpidity. So that's an indispensable part of the mirror that's needed to manifest the reflection. Is that clear to everybody? It's just the nature of mirrors, isn't it, to reflect whatever's put in front of it.
Yep, that's
clear. That's called clarity. Right? And here, in terms of the analogy, that's the clarity. Now, a mirror can't know anything because it's not conscious. Right? But the mind can know its objects, and it also has this aspect of clarity, that you can put things, things can appear in the mind and you can know them. An image can appear in the mind, a thought can appear in the mind, and you can know it. So, first of all, just think back. I'd like you to try to remember any birthday of your own or anybody else's that has happened in the past. Can you remember a birthday? Yeah. Okay, just relax now. Now imagine walking down a driveway. Have there been driveways you've walked down or driven down? Can you recollect them? Can you remember them? Can you see them in your mind's eye? Okay. Now, was there a difference in what appeared between the first recollection of the birthday and the second recollection of the driveway? I imagine you're all going to say yes. So, that shows the difference in knowing. You can know that this was the driveway and this was the birthday. How do you know that? Well, they're different. The difference is known in the clarity aspect. We remember or see a birthday looks very different than a driveway. But both images can appear clearly to you. And this is because of the nature of the mind, like that mirror. So that's, like I said, the clarity. When it's there, you also know this is such and such a birthday. This is the birthday I'm remembering. So there's knowing with clarity at the very same time. We remember the driveway. Driveway appears clearly. We also know that's a driveway. We also know the driveways and birthdays are not the same. So this is a way of demonstrating the clarity and knowing aspects, the conventional nature of the mind. Is this clear to everybody? This is just, you know, the function and entity of the mind. So the function of the mind is to know things. Its entity is to be clear, meaning that it has this reflective capacity, and not only that, but those images are not physical. If we go outside, there's an actual driveway you can walk on as you leave here or leave your house. That's a physical driveway. The one we imagine is not. So the mind is not physical, but it can still throw up images that are clear. I hope you all get this.
Yeah, it's clear, Eddie. It's good.
Okay. So this is just the, you know, like I said, the entity of the mind. It has this, these two aspects, clarity and the knowing. Now, you also know that there's quite a large difference between the image that appears to your mind of the birthday and the actual birthday. The image that appears to the mind, the generic image of the driveway, it's actually, you know, mental construction, and the actual driveway.
Yeah, so that bit's a little bit more subtle. Because yeah, with the driveway, we can get it, but we kind of forget about it when we're having a memory of an event.
That's right. So what happens is that what often happens to us is that we associate the images in our mind with the reality. We think these are real. But when in fact, we're affected by them as if they're real, but they're not actually real. It's our grasping at these, at the clarity, to be real. So you get ourselves in, you know, it can bring yourself into a lot of trouble like that. Like, you know, like the past is already gone, hasn't it? The past no longer exists. Yet when we think of it, it appears, you know, we have this clarity aspect of it. And as soon as it appears clearly to the mind, there's also a knowing. But the knowing thinks that this is real. It's the real thing. And our body and mind respond to that reality. But in fact, it's not. It's false. So this way, you know, we create our realities through the clarity aspect of mind. Anyway, I'm just going to leave that with you. But of course, there's a lot to think about with this. But, you know, like I said, I've been asked to lead you on a meditation of the clarity of the clarity and knowing nature of the mind. So my way of thinking, this is a very simple way of getting at it quite directly. So that, you know, like I said, the clarity aspect meaning not physical and sort of reflective. In the same way that a mirror is reflective or the surface of a lake is reflective. Okay, so we've come to the end of our...
Eddie, there's one more question about the nine-round breathing. So yeah. Nicola's asking about... what are the physical kind of implications or effects of doing the nine-round breathing? And also, is the instruction, you know, of right and left direction of the breath the same for men and women? Because you mentioned in a previous class about the internal channels being reversed. So do we kind of...
So there are many forms of the nine-round breathing meditation. Some are like what they call pre-tantra. So it's like a preliminary to it, but it's not actually tantra. But then there are actually tantric methods for doing it too. And that's when you're sort of doing these visualizations of channels and everything like that. So that has quite a different effect and has a different purpose than just purifying the motivation. So here, like I said, with the breath thing, is we're just purifying the intention. So first of all, like Ishi Rondo said, this is when you sit down, you might do a couple of two or three exhalations, strong exhalations, relax the body, and then you haven't actually set a motivation yet, but so you could purify any types, purify it before you begin it. So you see it in his text, so that means in many ways, like, you've got to know that actually how you're sitting, you do have, you are confused about things. You definitely have a desirous attachment and aversion. So some of these things, like, you've got to be sort of aware that these are present in you, within your mind. Are they manifest? If they are, then you do this type of meditation.
Then Sue is asking, is it wrong to think with the nature of the mind that the clarity comes from the most subtle air and mind that arises, and that it's innate and it has always been there? Well, I mean, that's a tantric question. So have we kind of got to that bit yet, or are we just doing a...
No, the mind has always been clear and knowing. Whether we're talking about the most subtle mind or conceptual minds or gross minds, it's always clear and knowing.
And the clarity comes from the most subtle air and mind?
It's just the nature of mind.
Right.
So we can't say it comes from it, it's just the nature of it. Just say, if you look at the nature of water, the fluidity or the softness doesn't come from the water, it's just the nature of water.
Okay, great.
Okay, so in summary, we've had a look at some breath meditations. We've done them. We know there is a meditation called 9-round breathing meditation. There are many different ways of doing this, some more involved and some less involved. I suggest you start simple and then, if you wish to become try more difficult ones. And we did a meditation on the clear and knowing nature of the mind. So we've come to the end of our class. I'd like to... Well, I did do one thing wrong. One moment.
Oh, go down to screen share. There it is. Yep.
So for next week, have a look at these pages here. So this material, of course, has to do with today's class. But next week we'll do our meditations on the Buddha.
And perhaps, Eddie, next week could we start with a 9-round breathing?
I will see. This meditation on the Buddha's got so much going on anyway. There's lots of visualizations going on there, so we'll see. So here's the reading material. We'll do a simple 9-round breathing meditation next week, and then we'll begin with a meditation on the Buddha. So, time to say goodbye for the moment. But before we do, we can dedicate the merit that we've accumulated through our engaging of the study. So remember here that merit does not exist from its own side. It exists as a dependent arising existing in mere name. So due to the past, present and future merits, existing in mere name, created by ourselves, the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas and every other sentient being, may we attain enlightenment, which is like a dream and exists in name only. And lead all dreamlike sentient beings who exist in mere name to that enlightenment, which is like a dream, existing in mere name, by ourselves alone, which, while not existing from its own side, does exist in mere name. So thank you, everybody. And I hope you put your cameras on so I can see you and say goodbye. Okay.